Welcome to Locked On Yankees. I'm Jesse Spector, the editor of LockedOnYankees.com, a lifelong New Yorker and a former daily news and sporting news guy now found in a variety of other places as a freelancer, including here. It'll be fun. Let's have fun. It's hard to imagine having more fun than the Yankees had on Monday night. They beat the Twins 14-1. We'll talk about that today. Talk about a trade that the Yankees have made that's going to not be a very big trade, but a trade nonetheless. Guy who's going to be coming up on their major league roster, so got that to look forward to. Want to start out today, though, by talking about the game against the Twins that the Yankees had. First of all, yeah, the Yankees just obliterated the Twins. I mean, they put them in a position where they had to go to Ryan Lamar, who was their starting center fielder in the game, the rare box score line of center fielder slash pitcher. Which did mean that the Twins gave up their DH in the game, which is always a fun thing to see in the American League. When you go from a position player to the mound, you have to give up the DH, and the Twins did that. Logan Morrison was unavailable for the top of the ninth inning, but that was neither here nor there by that point. Lamar did give up a home run to Tyler Austin, so Austin has that to brag about, I guess. He's got four home runs this year now. That's one more than Miguel Andujar, who's now got three after he homered again. And Giancarlo Stanton hit his fifth, and Didi Gregorius hit his seventh, which was a grand slam. Yankees had a blast. But what I really do want to start out talking about here is Masahiro Tanaka, who is now a very appropriate, I think, 3-2. Although it's funny, we talked about this, I guess, just yesterday, how, you know, Luis Severino has pitched, you know, he's 4-1. The four were great. The one was not. Tanaka, it's a little bit different because he got a win that, you know, he really probably should, you know, in a lot of other circumstances, would not have gotten when he was in Boston, gave up, you know, the six earned runs, seven hits, and five innings, but also took a loss that he really didn't very much deserve against the Orioles when he, you know, 6 1/3 and three earned runs in that game, and actually pitched better than that against the Birds. So baseball's a funny game. You know, wins and losses are storytelling statistics. They are not statistics that you should be using in any situation to actually judge whether or not a player is any good, but they do give you a story of what happened. And in this game, Tanaka pitched great. The Yankees hit a ton. Yankees win. And really, the most important thing, and Tanaka wins. The most important thing, though, is that Tanaka looks like whatever happened at Boston and against the Marlins is just a hiccup for him. A little bit strange, at least as far as Tanaka goes. He threw 91 pitches and only 55 strikes. He threw 57 of 83 for strikes against the Marlins. But, you know, what I think you've got to look at here, too, is that first time all season, and, you know, this is his sixth start. Say that five times fast. Sixth start. First time in six starts this season that Tanaka did not allow a home run. And that is something important for him, keeping the ball in the ballpark. He's obviously had some trouble with that. Worked into the seventh, walked Ryan Lamar, and that was when he was pulled for Chad Green, which tells you that it was still a competitive game at that point, but it very quickly became not so much that. So Tanaka's answering a question here, and there was definitely a question about him coming into this start of, you know, was this season starting to spin out of control on him? And he provided a very emphatic answer to that, that no, he's doing just fine. And, you know, three hits over 6 2/3 with two walks, he'll take that every time. He did also hit a batter, so there is that. So it was not quite as good. You know, one extra base runner, who cares? But yeah, it's still a question of, you know, does Tanaka have this all straightened out? But it's certainly not a case, and it's a pretty good Twins team. Yeah, they're a team that was in the wild card game last year. They're 8-9 now. They've lost four in a row. They've had a lot of weather this year that has left them at only 8-9, while the Yankees, who, you know, the Yankees are 12-9. They've played four more games than the Twins, And you know how much weather the Yankees have had to deal with in postponements. So the Twins have dealt with even more, and they're going to have a loaded up schedule late in the year. Still more of this series to go, and business for the Yankees to do and take care of before they hit the road at the end of the week. But so far, so good on this one. And the Yankees now have won 5 out of 7 on this homestand. So you'll take that. You know, they've insured themselves at least a 500 homestand, and they obviously want a lot more. And yeah, you look at the matchups the rest of the series against the Twins, and you figure that they should be able to do some business here. And this is the time when the Yankees need, we've talked about this, you know, talked about this for a little while now. This is the part of the schedule where the Yankees need to do some business, especially before they go out on the road, you know, and face the Angels and Astros, and then come home to face Cleveland and the Red Sox. There's a tough stretch coming up here. It's gotten maybe a little bit easier by the Twins slipping a bit here, but this is time for the Yankees to make some hay, and it looks like they have kicked into gear, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second, because Masahiro Tanaka is not going to be pitching the rest of this series, so there's the rest of the Yankees getting down to business that we got to take care of. But first, we should get down to business and say that if you would like to advertise here on Locked On Yankees, you can, and you should. Send an email to LockedOnNYY@gmail.com, and we'll get you taken care of. That's LockedOnNYY@gmail.com. All right, so you don't win 14-1 without some big hits, big contributions, and I think that, you know, there's actually a couple of ways that you could go with this as far as what you want to take out of this game for the Yankees. I'm going to go with Giancarlo Stanton because it's the most obvious. And Stan's now up to 224 for his batting average, 779 OPS. Still both way below where we expect Giancarlo Stanton to be, but boy, there was no reason to boo him on, there's never a reason to boo him, but there's no reason to boo him on Monday night, because 4-for-4 with a walk, home run, scored 3 times, drove in a pair. The home run was crushed into the second deck, just a hanging curveball from Jake Odorizzi, and Stanton did what Stanton does when you leave a curveball up in the zone like that, and it is going to go far, and it sure did. So Stanton's got that going on. Everybody in the Yankee lineup, either, you know, everybody had a hit except for Brett Gardner, who walked twice and scored 2 runs, and everybody scored. Every single player who was, you know, except for Ronald Torres, who came in late as a defensive replacement, I guess just to give Didi Gregorius a seat to enjoy the laugher. Everybody scored. Gardner scored twice. Judge scored twice. Gregorius scored once on his grand slam. Stanton 3. Gary Sanchez, who got things going in the first inning with a 2-run double, scored a run when Aaron Hicks singled him home. Hicks scored 2 runs. Tyler Austin scored on his own homer. Miguel Andujar scored on his own homer. And Gleyber Torres. Gotten this far into the show, haven't mentioned Gleyber Torres got his first major league hit. Got his first major league hit. Scored a run. He's on the board. He's 1-for-8 so far in his major league career, and a lot more to come from him. But this Yankees lineup is something. And, you know, you look at it now, and Tyler Austin is up to a 296 average, 988 OPS. Greg Bird's going to be back in a couple of weeks. But Tyler Austin has played his way into being, you know, a major leaguer here. You know, he's not just running into the occasional pitch and hitting it out of the ballpark. He's contributing on a pretty nightly basis. Miguel Andujar is obviously on fire right now. Another multi-hit game, and not just a multi-hit game, a multi-extra base hit game. He's got 8 doubles now. 8 doubles for a guy who wasn't even playing until about a week and a half ago. He's got 3 homers. Dude's crushing the ball all over the place. He's hitting 316 with a 982 OPS. It's nuts. These are two guys that you didn't count on being, you know, a big part. I mean, Tyler Austin didn't, and neither one of them made the opening day roster. And yet here they are. They're both, they're hitting it towards the bottom of the order. But these guys are becoming major contributors to this team. And then you have, Greg Bird and Brandon Drury are going to be back at some point the next, few weeks. Drury's getting, ramped up to start, doing some baseball stuff. You could put Clint Frazier in that group as well. I have no idea what the Yankees would do with Frazier, because it's not like you're going to bump Gardner or Judge or Stanton or Hicks. And Clint Frazier's a guy who needs to play regularly. I guess he's going to be in Scranton. At some point, Aaron Boone's talking about Jacoby Ellsbury being a player for the Yankees this year. I don't see where. I don't see how. But, I also didn't see how or when Shane Robinson and Jace Peterson were going to play on this team, and they did. So you never know. And you could put the David Hale in the same category and get to him a little bit more in a minute. But this is this is a Yankees team that this lineup is looking the way it is supposed to look, even without everybody who's supposed to be in it. And Gleyber Torres is going to hit. It's not like he's getting dominated here. He's, 1-for-4 in his second game. And in his first game, obviously, 0-for-4. But I think that, it's important to note here that in those 8 at-bats, Gleyber Torres has struck out a grand total of 0. Well, I should say 1 time. He struck out once on Sunday afternoon. So he's not getting overpowered out there. I think you can see it in the at-bats, too, that this is a guy who's here to play, and it's going to come for him. And when it does, that's a guy who's hitting 9th right now. And he's, a top 5 prospect in all of baseball at the age of 21. So the Yankees are in awfully good shape. And it's already at a point where I'm editing some stories on LockedOnYankees.com where, we're talking about early worries in this season, and it's up on Tuesday morning will be a piece by Brett Huber that's great. It's her usual great stuff, but it's addressing, kind of how how silly it is to not just kind of how silly, but like to worry about, exactly where you're at in April, and now the Yankees are 12-9. They'll probably finish the month over 500. They're at least in good shape for that. But to be able to do what they're doing, it's been difficult to watch the Yankees at times. They've played some really bad baseball. They've played probably some of the worst baseball they'll play all year. But as they get it together, I think you're going to see exactly what we all thought was going to happen. And what we all thought was going to happen was that this is going to be a team that contended for the division title in a tough division with the Red Sox and was basically assured of a playoff spot because they are among very easily the top 4 teams in the American League. I mean, you can look at the Central and you see this Twins team, and they're a team that had to fight for the wild card last year. And you can look at the American League West, and you've got the Astros and the Angels, both there. Maybe the Blue Jays are in the mix. Maybe not. But this is a Yankees team that when it is playing the way that it should be playing, and they will for most of the year, because that's really how it works. You are, in so many ways, the team that's put together. And unless there are things that go catastrophically wrong, and I think that we saw, how many injuries the Yankees had at the start of the year, and they're still dealing with. But the depth of this organization, they're going to be fine. And I think that we've known that. And Stanton's going to be fine. Gary Sanchez is going to be fine. There are others who are already fine who will go through slumps. And that happens. They'll lose games. We know that. But it's a really, really good Yankees team. And yeah. So that seems like a good place to just give a break until we go to the next topic and let you know that if you are having trouble subscribing to this show, if you're not finding it, you know, we're on the place where you get your podcasts, let us know. We're LockedOnNYY@gmail.com or tweet to @LockedOnYankees. But we should be where you find podcasts, because we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Spotify, we're on Podbean, we're on all sorts of other places. So give a look, find the show, leave a review, and, you know, some stars, preferably 5 if you're on a 5-star system, and that helps other people to find the show. So go do that. Thank you. All right, last thing today, the Yankees made a trade after Monday night's game, and it resulted in David Hale being designated for assignment. David Hale pitched 2 innings in the game on Monday, closed it out, 2 scoreless, 3 strikeouts, gave up 3 hits. Yankees were 2-0 with David Hale on the roster, and he no longer is. He's been designated for assignment because the Yankees picked up A.J. Cole from the Washington Nationals in exchange for cash considerations. And it's an interesting move because the Yankees said they're going to be putting Cole on the 25-man roster. He has really struggled for the Nationals this year. He's pitched in 4 games, made 2 starts, total of 10 1/3 innings. He's given up 6 home runs, which is the most in the National League. Cole has given up, you know, been scored upon in every game that he has pitched. Things really started badly for him on April 3rd in Atlanta. He gave up 10 runs in 3 2/3, and that put his ERA at 24.55. He's gotten it down to 13.06, so there's that. But, you know, gave up 2 runs in 5 1/3 and a pretty good start back at home against the Nationals, and against Atlanta for the Nationals. Then the Nationals moved him to the bullpen. He got a win in relief against the Mets at Citi Field, even though he gave up a pair of runs in 1 inning of work in that game. And then his final appearance for the Nats was April 18th. So that's last Wednesday. In a 1/3 of an inning, gave up a big fat homer. And that was how that went for him. So he's given up home runs in every appearance he's made, too. He gave up 2 in each of the starts and 1 in each of the relief appearances against the Mets. But Cole is an interesting dude because he's a guy that the Nationals were, you know, bringing along and bringing along and bringing along for, feels like, quite some time. He got designated for assignment the other day, and now he's on the Yankees. Cole's a guy, he's also just an interesting cat in Major League history, and I know this because I wrote about it. He was the guy that sparked it for me, a story about all the players in Major League history who have worn number 69 on their jerseys, which Cole did in 2015. But he was, you know, a top 100 prospect and as high as number 30 on Baseball Prospectus's list before the 2015 season. Things have not gone so well for him at the major league level, but, you know, last year was also not really good for him in the minors. He was actually 3-5 in the majors with a 3.81 ERA. He was 4-5 in AAA in 18 starts with a 5.88 ERA. The strikeouts haven't always been there to the extent that they've been this year, so maybe he's picked something up in that regard. But clearly the Yankees see something in A.J. Cole, that they're making a trade for him for cash considerations. Not even going the waiver claim route with the guy who was DFA'd, straight, you know, a trade for cash, and then adding him directly to the 25-man roster rather than saying you're going to Scranton when you've got a guy in David Hale who just pitched you 2 innings. And maybe that's why the Yankees wanted to get Hale out of there, so they could have a fresh arm on the roster just in case for, you know, later in this series. But it's strange because it's a guy who has been seen in the past as having a bright future and has really been on that Washington-Syracuse shuttle the past couple of years, past 3 years, really, out of options now this year. So the Nats couldn't keep him when they wanted to send him down. Wanted to send him down, didn't get the chance. I guess because there was enough interest, and the Yankees swooped in and got him for cash. So it's an interesting arm, you know, a guy who in a lot of ways fits a profile for the Yankees as, you know, that kind of right-handed pitcher. But we'll see. We'll see exactly what A.J. Cole brings to the table because he's coming to New York. Hey, yeah, Yankees finally traded for Cole. We've been at this for how long? Yeah. All right. There we go. Yankees made the trade for Cole. So that's happened. That's over. And we'll see where it goes. And the same can be said of this show. It's over and we'll see where it goes. Thank you so much for listening. Follow along on the Twitter at Locked On Yankees. Do the subscribe, rate, review thing on iTunes and elsewhere. And we will see you next time.